Tonight we turn to God's Word as it's found in the book of Joshua, chapter 23 and also 24. We're going to read these two chapters tonight as we finish up our sermon series on this book. We're going to begin at Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, "I am now old and well advanced in years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now, I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things, until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given you." Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of them. And afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you the land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who live in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good for you." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth, that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. And the last few verses again record for us the death of Joshua, Joseph's bones being brought up from Egypt, and the death of Eleazar the priest. We end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we are at the end of what ended up being a fairly lengthy series of sermons on Joshua. It was about 5 months ago or so that we started this series. And I hope that by now, these past 5 months have not been wasted. That if I asked you tonight, or if I asked your children, what is the book of Joshua about? You would tell me more than Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. I think we knew that when we started about that great and glorious battle. But I hope that by now the book of Joshua has become a more living book for you, a book that you can enter into. You recognize there's those two big portions of the book, divided really in half, 12 chapters in the beginning, 12 chapters in the end. Those first 12 chapters dealing with the conquest of the land, and how God would continue to be faithful to his people. That's how we started this series. The theme of the book of Joshua, God's faithfulness to his people. He had the spies come into the land, Rahab and that whole encounter there, and God was faithful to his people. We saw them crossing the Jordan, just as they crossed the Red Sea, and God, again, faithful to his people. Those initial battles, the Battle of Jericho, when they marched around that town and the walls just fell down. And when they finally defeated the people of Ai as well, God gave victory after victory after victory to His people. We saw that in that conquest section, there was a wonderful military strategy, how Joshua had a central campaign to divide the country in half, then a southern campaign, then a northern campaign, how God would fight for the people, the sun stood still, God marshaling all creation to come and help the people, and yet them going out and having the conquest. We saw how God gave the land rest from war after those first 12 chapters. And then in the second 12, the division of the land of Canaan, and how the land was apportioned and divided based upon a word that was given so many years ago about Jacob, from Jacob about his sons, and how so clearly that prophecy, that word of Jacob, was fulfilled in the life of the people of Israel as the land was divided and apportioned for them. How each got exactly what God had said they would get. God was faithful to His people. We saw how God gave a special portion to the Levites and the priests. We talked about the cities of refuge as a picture of the refuge that we have in Jesus Christ. And now we come to the last two chapters, the final piece of this second section. Joshua now, an old man, Joshua reflecting on his life with Israel. And Joshua wants to bring a final challenge, a final word to the people of God. He has talked about God's faithfulness again and again and again. And tonight we come to those words that are probably familiar to many of us. Chapter 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, in light of all of this, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose. That's Joshua's final word to his people. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now, maybe those of us who are familiar with the Calvinistic tradition are uncomfortable with the idea of choice, the call to choose to serve the Lord. We're not talking tonight about a choice unto salvation. That's not what's going on here. God has brought His people into the promised land, a picture of the salvation that we already now enjoy. Having been brought into the promised land, now the call comes, choose whether or not you are going to serve the Lord who has brought you here. This call to choose comes at the end of the book, after they're in the promised land, not at the beginning. The picture of God having chosen us from all eternity, brought us into salvation in Christ. And now the call, choose this day whom you will serve. Each of us has a choice to make. Not a choice of being saved or not, but having been saved, a choice of living a life of obedience or a life of disobedience. That's it, children. Two choices. A choice of obeying God or a choice of disobeying God. That's the call that Joshua gives to the people. That's the call that comes to us tonight. Joshua, in giving them that call, choose this day whom you will serve, reflects upon God's work in their past. Not only their near past, but their distant past. In chapter 24, verse 2, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Joshua reminds them that they are to choose to be obedient to God because of what He's done in their past. He had taken Abraham and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, where he served other gods. Already back then, God was showing himself to be gracious. He didn't leave Abraham serving the foreign gods. He didn't leave him in the Ur of the Chaldees. He acknowledges he served other gods, but God brought him out of there. God was faithful to their forefathers to bring him away from the other gods. Verse 3, "And I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many." God brought him out of paganism into the promised land and blessed him. Because of what God has done in our past, choose to serve the Lord. Choose the path of obedience. Joshua goes on. Verse 5. "I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of them, and afterward I brought you out." They would remember being brought out of Egypt. These were now not forefathers, these were their fathers, who had been brought out of the land of Egypt. God had displayed himself marvelously, miraculously, in the plagues and bringing his people out. Because of what God has done in the past, choose the way of obedience. He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to you when you were in Egypt, just like he is faithful to us. We reflect upon our past, upon the fact that God has chosen us to come into a relationship with him. He's not left us out there in the Ur of the Chaldees. He's not left us off in captivity. But he has rescued us. He has redeemed us. He, through the work of his Son Jesus Christ, has taken us out of captivity into freedom. Now thank him with obedience. Choose to serve the Lord your God. That was the call to Israel. That is the call to us today. God continues to be faithful, and so because of what he's done in the past, choose to follow him in this day. Joshua goes on to remind them of the past. Verse 8 of chapter 24. "Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who live on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose and fought against Israel. And I sent, and he sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you." Remember that story, children. A story not found in the book of Joshua, a story found in the book of Numbers, of Balaam and Balak. Balak, who wanted to curse the people of Israel. So he calls Balaam to come in and bring this word of curse. And when Balaam opens his mouth to curse Israel, a blessing comes out. God will not let him curse his people. And Balak says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he tries it again. He says, "Go again. He'll curse the people." And a second time, Balaam opens his mouth and a blessing comes out. Three times, Balaam goes to curse the people of God, and instead God brings a blessing upon his people. Even from the mouth of this false prophet, God would be faithful to bless his people again and again and again. God's work in the past was not a one-time event, but they had a history of walking with him. They had a history of knowing God's faithfulness to them as a people. Because of what God has done in the past, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose the path of obedience. And verse 11. "You went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand." Now, not what happened to their forefathers. Now, not what happened to their fathers. What happened to them? What had they seen? They had seen the hand of God fighting for them, defeating enemy after enemy. Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, all of them fell. I gave them all into your hand, Joshua reminds them. God had been faithful again and again and again. Therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him with sincerity and faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve. that same faithful God is our God. We can think back to our spiritual forefathers. We think of those who have gone before us. We think of names like Luther and Calvin. We think of names like Ursinus and Olivianus. We think of these great men of the past who God used in mighty and powerful ways, and God was faithful to them, our forefathers. We think of our own spiritual fathers, those closer to us. How God had put us in particular relationships in which He was magnified and glorified, and God was still faithful. We think of His work in our life, in the work of the life of our church. How He brought us together from different congregations, from different backgrounds, but with a commitment to serve a faithful God. Because He'd been faithful to us again and again and again. We have seen God's faithfulness. As a congregation, He provided for us. He gave us a place to worship, where Sunday after Sunday we can gather in comfort, in ease. We gather here in the corporate center. It's because God is faithful. He has made the land plain before us, given us a good place to be. God has raised up in our midst faithful office bearers to serve Him and to serve us. A reminder of God's goodness in the past, that He has not left us alone. He's not left us without a witness, but He has continued to be faithful again and again and again. And these temporal blessings, that reminder of the eternal blessing of being called into fellowship with Him. From the past, from before the foundations of the world, chosen in Christ for redemption. Because of what God has done in the past, the call comes to us. Choose you this day whom you will serve. God's faithfulness in history leads us to a choice we need to make today. A choice that we make in the present. We read in chapter 23, verse 6. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand or to the left. The call to choose is a call to obedience according to the Word of God. Diligent obedience. Joshua didn't say, the Lord your God's made you strong. Now I want you to just keep the general spirit of the law of Moses. Keep the general equity thereof. No, be very careful, turning not to the right hand or to the left. Be very careful to do exactly what God said. God calls forth a wholehearted, diligent obedience. The choice is to completely obey. Not to give half-hearted obedience. Not to give obedience except in certain areas. We are people who tend to love exceptions. Oh, I'll follow God in all these ways except right here. I'll give Him every part of my life except this part. We are a people who tend to live by exceptions. But God's call today is to choose wholehearted obedience. And in every part of our life, we submit it to the will of God, to the will revealed to us in Scripture. Now we know that as sinful, fallen men and women, boys and girls, we will fail in that, but it must be our desire. Our desire to follow wholeheartedly. Our desire to choose to do nothing that would lead us to the right or the left. So often we seem to desire the half-hearted obedience. The following. The giving God the time that is convenient to give to Him. Or the obedience that is convenient to give to Him. God calls us to wholehearted devotion. Choose this day to completely devote yourself to following after me.
completely devote yourself to be very careful to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law, turning aside not to the left or to the right.
God calls for particular obedience. He goes on beyond that. He calls them to be a particular people. From 23, verse 11. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations, remaining among them, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they will be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes.
God's call to distinct living. Not going back to the ways of Canaan. Not being enslaved by their gods, or even more so, by an unhealthy union with them. He talks about intermarriage. If you remain among them and make marriages with them, know for certain the Lord will no longer bless you.
And that same instruction is given to us today. To be distinct in our own life, to be distinct in our relationships. To be distinct particularly in those with whom we marry. We are not allowed to have a union with an unbeliever. God calls us to go away from that, to reject that, just as Israel was called to turn their back on these foreign nations. Don't marry with them. Don't associate that way with them. And that's why, young people, we are so concerned about who you date. Why we're so concerned about those that you hang around with. Because the relationship may start casual and we're just friends together and okay, they really don't go to church, but they're really nice people. He's a really nice guy or she's a really nice girl. And that relationship might develop to the point where you do want to marry this person. But God doesn't allow that. Doesn't allow us to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, I'm sure that all of us have a story of an uncle or an aunt or a brother or a sister who had a marriage with an unbeliever and sure enough, everything turned out fine. That is the exception. That is not the rule. How does Joshua describe it? These relationships will be a snare. And a trap, a whip on your sides, thorns in your eyes, till you perish off this good ground the Lord your God has given you. For everyone who knows a story of a believer and non-believer who have married, there are stories tenfold where those marriages have fallen apart, and at times where believers have left the faith. God calls us to distinction. Distinct now. Choose this day obedience. Choose this day whom you will serve. Do not be ensnared. Do not be entangled. Do not have unhealthy relationships with the Canaanites, with the world. But be called out. Be distinct because of what I have done for you in the past. Right now, make the decision to live in obedience to me. God calls us to be distinct in our walk with Him. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him with sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers that they served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. Putting away of false gods. And that's always what it comes down to. Idolatry. That was always the challenge to Israel. To serve something or someone in place of or alongside of the one true God. That was what came up again and again and again. And God called them, put away these foreign gods. Put away the gods of your fathers that they served beyond the river and the gods they served in Egypt and serve the Lord. Bottom line is we cannot serve two masters. We commit ourselves to choosing today to serve the Lord. or we're choosing to serve the other gods. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region, that's the pagan gods beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in this land, that's the pagan gods here in Canaan. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God calls them to reject all other gods. The gods of Abraham, the gods of the Amorites. Choose this day to serve the Lord your God. Choose this day to put away the false gods, to specifically devote yourself to following after God, choosing obedience rather than disobedience. And Joshua warned them again and again that this was their call to wholehearted devotion, and they respond, "We will serve the Lord." What does Joshua say in verse 19? Joshua says to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do harm and consume you after all that you have done." Joshua warns them. This choice is a life and death choice. The choice of obedience, the choice of faithfulness, the choice of freedom of walking in God's ways. And we are unable in ourselves. You're not able to serve the Lord. He's too holy. He's too pure. We recognize our weakness, our frailty, our inability of ourselves to offer proper worship and devotion to God. And so we call to mind again our past and the work of Jesus Christ, the one who in whom we are qualified to bring worship, the one in whom we do live and move and have our being, the one who guides and directs every part of our life and our work and our play today. Joshua says, "You must be careful because you're not able to serve God." And they say, "No, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua says, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." They said, "We are witnesses." And so he says, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." That's how he began this section, put away these foreign gods. And what do they say? The people said in verse 24, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." Now that sounds like a pretty good answer. But throughout Joshua and throughout Old Testament narrative itself, when a specific command is given, if people really intend to keep that command, it's recorded in the very same words in which the command came. For example, if Joshua says, "Then put away the foreign gods among you and incline your hearts to the Lord," the answer should be, "We will put away the foreign gods among us and incline our hearts to the Lord." But they didn't say that. They simply offered a general obedience. We'll listen to God. We'll serve Him. While the answer sounded good, they still held in their heart, "We're not going to give God wholehearted obedience." They had heard the warning, "Choose this day whom you will serve," but still wanted to hold on to the past. And as we look ahead in Israel's future, we see how this choice and this unwillingness to wholeheartedly devote themselves, will simply give God general obedience, would come back and haunt them again and again and again and again. The history of Israel is a history of idolatry and disobedience. How again and again they fell back to this old way. Yeah, we'll kind of serve God, but we'll really do it our own way. Joshua called them to make a decision today that would affect them for the future. They did. And the future of Israel was a future of thorns, a future of whips, ultimately a future of captivity, and a future of rejection as the people of God. God calls us today to make a choice that will affect us for the future. will affect our work relationships, will affect our marriage relationships, will affect our relationship with this congregation. Choose this day whom you will serve. As a body, as a church, we have, by God's grace, taken a stand to do all we can to conform to obedience to His Word. But God also calls us as individuals to take that same stand. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May it be that by God's grace, that is our confession tonight. That each of us might say wholeheartedly, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We began with the call to be strong and courageous, to go forth as the people of God. And they went forth, and God was with them through so many years and through all the battles. God comes to us tonight, having heard His word now from Joshua for the last 5 months, being reminded of what God has done. He comes to you. Fear the Lord. Serve Him with sincerity and faithfulness. Choose whom you will serve. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You and we praise You for Your faithfulness to us. You have been faithful from before the time we were born. You, from before the foundations of the earth, have called the people into relationship with You. And You, in Your glorious timing, have worked that out in our lives, that we have seen the glories of salvation. We acknowledge our weakness and frailty, and we embrace the work of Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. And we recognize Your call to obedient living. Lord God, remove from us anything that would seek to offer half-hearted obedience. But may we, with heart and soul and mind and strength, commit once again tonight that as for us and for our household, we will commit to serving You, our God. Strengthen us, O God, by the power of Your Spirit, that commitment made this evening might go on in the days and weeks and years to come. That our history, our future, not be a future of whips and thorns, but a future where we see Your blessing upon us, Your people. And in this, O God, we again will give You thanks, honor, glory, and praise. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name.